I have heard of Christians long ago. They were brought before.
Hallelujah.
The tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of.
Never deny,
like a great and gently fire sail.
I can almost hear their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to
go to the Lamb.
Course of Jesus still goes on. Now the time has come, oh, to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. But one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died. Trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, although my shame. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I seek to honor His command.
Your people, touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious Holy hands, we pray may your kingdom shine upon this earth. Temporary needs, Hallelujah. Oh, we need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have had so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church. Your people once again, oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth. Tired servants, oh, your broken, wounded soldiers, oh, how much we need your precious healing hands. We need the power of the cross, that's the only source for us when we stand up facing final. Your church again. Oh Lord, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray, may your kingdom shine.
Brother David saying, thank you for your prayers. My brother-in-law's heart operation was successful.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Julie is thanking the Lord for his grace and exam. She passed all her modules with very good grades.
Amen.
Thank you for your prayers and your support. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We have another prayer request. Brother Greg is asking for prayer for his mother. She desires to give her life to the Lord Jesus, and the devil is fighting her. So we'll really unite in prayer. And that, we also want to welcome Sister Rubelene's friend, Sister Nayara. She's also from Brazil.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister. Welcome. Amen. Let's open our Bibles first, and then we will pray. After service today, happy day for our brother Goran, Sister Valentina. they've asked to be joined together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We wanted to make them something bigger. They just asked for something simple. So straight at the end of the service, we'd like to get them to come forward for that great decision when they make a covenant one with another.
Amen.
And may the Lord bless them. We'll do that at the end. Let's read Luke chapter 9, 23 to 25. Luke 9, 23 to 25. In most Bibles, it'll be in red. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So he's not speaking to people who are just trying to escape from hell, which is the vast majority of Christians in this age. He's not speaking to people that are just trying to see how to receive spiritual blessing or financial blessing by using principles of the Word of God, although there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is speaking to those who desire to be his disciples. Because it says, look in verse 23, it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Let's also read Hebrews 11. On Friday night, we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And it's so easy for us to say, but that was Jesus. Yes, Jesus could do those things, but that was Jesus. But today, maybe we'll say, let this mind be in you that was also in Moses. Let's see it in Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow our heads. Fathers, we pray for your blessing upon your word. Oh, Jesus, how we just desire one thing, that none of us here upon this day would be forgetful hearers upon this day. Oh, Lord, as we look in the mirror of your word, as we see the way to true blessing, as we see the way of the cross, as we see the way of discipleship, Lord, as we see the bloody footprints, Lord, that you've said that we should follow. Father, let us not go from this place and forget the requirements of being your disciple. But Father, we just want to please you. And Father, may you instruct us and guide us, teach us and lead us. We do pray for this request that's before us, for Brother Greg's mother, Lord. We ask of you, Father, Lord, that you'd reveal yourself to her, that you would show her the way. Because you said, as many as receive you, you give them the power to become the sons and daughters of God. Father, you said that by faith, the simplicity of faith, we can prevail and overcome over all things. So we pray that portion of grace, of faith to her, may you impart it to her, we pray. Father, bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated in Jesus' name. So when Paul was telling us on Friday to have this mind that was in Christ, what would this mind really mean to us? How would we be able to see somebody who has the mind of Christ and somebody who doesn't? Because obviously Paul is exhorting us unto this. And I'm sure every single one of us who's here for the right motive and the right purpose upon this day, which is to understand and to have an entrance, a deeper entrance ministered, to walk closer to him, more pleasing to him, would really want to know, I mean, do I really have this mind of Christ? Am I walking in this mind of Christ? Because it's fine, all the theory, we know that. But when the times of temptation come, when the times of trial come, when the devil comes and offers you the kingdoms of this world, when he comes and offers you all of the alternatives that he has to offer, then we've got to know that you've got the real thing.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You know, it's a spiritual armor. And this mind of Christ, you know, the prophet said it's a spiritual thing. He says, when the supernatural comes in, when it moves in, it's the mind of Christ. Amen. You know, so you'll see it in the lives of people. Like, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see every step of the way, Him making decisions that to the natural mind were foolishness. That if a man has these gifts, if a man has this power, if a man has this opportunity, why doesn't he use it for this, that, and the other? But instead, he laid it all aside. He denied himself. Amen. Now, the life of Jesus, the cross at the end was not really the only cross. His life was a life of bearing the cross from the day that he was born to the day that he took the physical cross. Because to bear the cross means to deny yourself. The cross is self-denial. Choosing the ways of God and denying yourself. That is what it is to take up your cross. Because Jesus, the cross was the way for him to fulfill God's perfect will inside of his life. And for him to take up the cross, it was for him to deny himself, to lay his life aside, to lay aside all his ambitions as a natural man. The prophet says he didn't want to die. He wanted to stay with his disciples. He could have had a wife. He could have been like the rest of people. He says he loved the sunsets. He loved things just as human beings do because he was a man and he was God. But when he came to that final decision, it was a culmination of things. This was the end result in a life that had always lived with this attitude. Amen. He always took up the cross. Amen. Whenever decisions came where his natural desire was to go one way, and the will of God was revealed to go another way, he would take up his cross. Because the cross is self-denial. It's when you see the will of God, when you see the purpose of God, when you come to those junctions in the road, there's a struggle. Amen. There's a temptation. There's something trying to pull you this way. But you know that God, he doesn't want you to go that way. That's why if we want to follow him, if we want to walk with him, we have to daily take up our cross. Daily. Tomorrow, you young people, when you go to school, when you go to college, and your friends are going to want to speak things that are wrong, you have to take up your cross. Amen. If you want to continue walking in the presence of God, if you want the communion, the fellowship, the favor of Christ in your life, there's a price to be paid. And that is the price daily of taking up your cross. Amen. Jesus didn't just take his cross up once at the end. His life was lived under the cross. It was a preparation bringing him to that great culminating event, which was when he physically took the cross. And friends, the cross, it was the gateway to his adoption. For him to really fulfill the fullness of what he was called for, the cross was the instrument that was laid before him that he had to willingly choose to take up. No one else could choose for him. This had to be a personal choice, a personal decision. But when he came to Gethsemane and the cross was laid there before him, and that great decision laid before him, that was the gateway to him fulfilling the fullness of his calling. If Jesus hadn't have taken up his cross, he would never have known the power of the resurrection. He never would have. If we don't take up our cross, we'll never know the power of the resurrection. Because the resurrection's always the other side of the cross. The Lord will bring you to certain decisions in your life. Certain crises when he's trying to get you to a certain place. And there'll be a choice offered before you because there's the devil involved as well. There's the same temptation to us as what there was to Jesus. He'll offer us the kingdoms of this world. He said, take the easy way. You don't have to go the way of the cross. You can get these kingdoms. Just bow down and worship me. And the Bible says that Jesus was tempted. The natural man, there was something in him as a natural man. The prophet says it's hard to die. No one wants to die. The natural man is against the natural instincts of this being to want to die, to want to be afflicted, to want to suffer pain. Now you'll do anything just about as a natural person not to die, not to suffer, not to deprive yourself. But if we want to be disciples, we are called daily. To have this mind that was in Christ. That's the only way we can be his disciples. He says, if any man will be my disciple. And to be a disciple means to follow him. To go behind him. And every step that he took, it was in the way of the cross. It was in the shadow of the cross. He had this attitude, this mind inside of him. Now, if you just look at it from that way, it sometimes seems hard because people haven't been like granted grace to break into the spiritual dimension of the riches of the kingdom of God. We look at it and say, but hey, man, this is a hard life. We're just being asked to give up all of these things. But friends, beyond the cross to Jesus was far greater. In a magnitude of order, beyond the cross, he received such an inheritance beyond all he had ever given up. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Whenever the Lord asks you to lay something down, there's always something far greater that he has for you. That's why it says that Moses was willing to forsake all of the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he esteemed the riches of Christ far greater treasure. Is that not the testimony of you as a believer? God is no man's debtor. You will never forsake anything for him that he will not recompense you in this world and the world to come. Many times over. You are always better off every time you take up your cross. Every time you accept the cross. Every time you lay yourself upon the altar. Every single time it moves you to another dimension in your spiritual calling. The cross moves you to the next stage of your calling. And that's why we'll have these junctions in our Christian walk on a regular basis. These times of decision, these valleys of decision, when there's the two ways before us. Remember Billy Paul when he was starting to go astray and he was going and gambling and smoking and drinking and all that. And then he woke up the next day and he came out and the prophet was there washing his car. And the prophet says, Paul, where were you last night? And he didn't want to tell brother. And he says, I know where you were. And he says, Billy Paul, put out your arms. And then the sun was shining and it made a shadow of a cross. And the prophet says, Billy Paul, there's two ways. There's God's way and there's your way. And there comes an intersection in everybody's life. There comes an intersection between his way and your way. And that's when he calls you to take up the cross. Amen. And the prophet said to him, he says, Billy Paul, make the right decision. Amen. But Billy Paul didn't. And he had to pay the price. But what does the Lord do? When you forsake the right way, if you are son of God, if you refuse to take up the cross, what does he do? He takes you around, then he brings you back to that same place, same time of decision again. Because when he said it to Jonah, he said, Jonah, if you want to do something for me, go to Nineveh. Then the prophet preaches in a man running from the presence of the Lord. A man running from responsibility. There's a cross of responsibility. When God gives you responsibilities, ask you to take up your cross. Amen. And he said to Jonah, there's a responsibility. You are a prophet, you have a message. There's a people, there's the Gentiles in Nineveh, they need to hear this message. Because if they don't repent within 40 days, I'm going to destroy them. And the man was given the choice, but Jonah made a decision. The prophet says he chose the easy way. He wanted the way of Tarshish. He didn't want to go by the way of the Gentiles to Nineveh. And friends, that's one way to forsake the divine blessing. Because when Jonah now went his own way and the Lord had to bring the storm and bring him back right to that same place of decision again. And then when he got vomited out of the fish, then the Lord says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And this time when he took up his cross, what happened? It opened the way to one of the greatest revivals in history. Amen. The whole city repented in sackcloth and ashes. Amen. Can you not see that the devil fools us with this cross? He makes us think this is hard. Why is the Lord asking you to do these things? The young people many times think like that, not realizing that the cross is the very instrument that will take you into a far greater realm of blessing than you've ever been before. But all the Lord is looking for is a decision. Like Brother Rubens was preaching last week, that gate to the soul. That's where the cross lays, right in that gate. Because just as much as you're the only one that can open up the door, you're the only one that can take up the cross. No one's going to carry your cross for you, my friend. You have to take up your own cross. You have to face up to responsibility. There's a cross of responsibility. And when that cross is laid before us, if you want the divine blessing, take it up with the right attitude. That's the key. Don't let anybody force you. There can never be divine blessing on anything that God has to force us to do. Never. That's not the principle of the kingdom of God. Amen. Every step of the way, we saw on Friday when Jesus came down from being the great King of glory, the Logos, he chose to become a man.
Amen.
Then being found as a man, he chose to take on the form of a servant.
Yes.
Then being found as a servant, he chose to die.
Amen.
And then when he chose the way of the cross.
Amen.
He chose every step of the way, he chose that which was before him. And why does the Bible say that he did it? For the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
He could look beyond today and he could look into tomorrow. He could look beyond time and he could see what that decision was going to do in eternity.
Amen.
And that's why the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he overcame the shame.
Amen.
It's a joy. And some of these times of decision, we don't realize the far-reaching implications of them. Remember the rich young ruler? He wasn't asked to give up the whole world. He wasn't offered the kingdoms of this world. He just had his father's riches that he had inherited. And when he was called now to that time of decision, when he came and said, Master, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus says, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. That wasn't the end of it. And then come and follow me. That was his cross. Come and follow me. He couldn't do it. And he lost his soul. You know, the prophet says the rich young ruler could have been another Paul.
Amen.
He said he was a well-trained young man. He had riches. He had something very good about him. But that decision had far-reaching consequences.
Amen.
Because what will it profit a man to gain the whole world?
Amen.
And then lose your soul. And where do we find him next? We find him crying out in the regions of the lost. It's a serious thing to think about.
Amen.
Remember when the prophet went beyond the curtain of time? What did those voices say to him? If you hadn't have gone, we wouldn't be here. You taking up your cross, you don't realize just as much as Jesus, when he took up his cross, he opened the way for us.
Amen.
If he hadn't have taken his cross, we wouldn't have been able to enter there.
Amen.
And exactly the same as the prophet, he was told, because you have chosen the narrow way.
Amen.
A huge portion of heaven awaits you. That's the reward beyond the cross, friends.
Amen.
That's the reward. Don't accept Laodicean religion.
Amen.
Laodicean religion wants to give you religion without the cross.
Right.
That is a satanic religion.
Amen.
To give you power, give you authority, give you anything without the cross, that's not God's provided way.
Amen.
Because the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to be tempted like that.
Amen.
When Satan came and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world.
Amen.
And Jesus looked at all the kingdoms and all the glory of those kingdoms. And he weighed it in the balance and he saw the will of God. The prophet says he could have taken it. But then we couldn't have gone there with him.
Amen.
And that was the most important thing to him. And friends, be careful. Because your children are watching you.
Amen.
If you don't take up your cross, you're hindering them from taking up their cross.
Amen.
But when you take up your cross, you're opening the way for them as well.
Amen.
When they see that kind of a life that is lived under the shadow of the cross, when they see a life where you're denying yourself to keep the glory of God in your experience, when you're denying yourself to keep walking with Christ in your day, our friends, it has an impact upon people. It has a great impact. It does something, especially in the soft age that you're living, that the prophet says. Now, these junctions and these seasons of time, we've got to be so careful in them. We've got to really be careful. You know, I've seen it in the lives of people many times that you look in your experience. God will keep bringing something inside of your life. He'll keep bringing you to a certain place. There'll be a certain something that just won't go away. Yeah? You don't want it to be there. You're trying to find some alternative to that which is happening inside of your life. That's how God is bringing you to the cross. When God is trying to bring you to make the right decision.
Amen.
So many times our human nature, the prophet says, like Jonah, we wanted to run from that responsibility.
Amen.
We wanted to take an easier way. But the Lord just keeps bringing us back. And friends, you will never go to the next stage in your Christian walk until you face up to it the way that it's supposed to be faced up to.
Amen.
I see people sometimes they come to church. They want everybody in church to change to the way that they want their things to be done. They do. You'll see some people, they've got real strong natures. They want things done their way. Everybody must change to conform with them. And the Lord will keep bringing them to that same place. Bringing them to that same place. They may go around, the Lord brings them back. Because you know what it is? The Lord's wanting you to change. The Lord's wanting you to take up your cross. But He can't do it for you. You have to make the choice. Because He can only bless the free will offering. It's only when it's offered on the altar by free will. That's when the blessing of the Lord can come upon it. And you'll find people will struggle in their lives. People will wrestle with things. People will go round and around and around. And what we normally do is the blame game then. We want to say, no, this isn't my life because of him and because of her. And this person doesn't understand me. It's because of my wife. It's because of my children. It's nothing to do with that.
Amen.
All of that may contribute to make one instrument, and that's a cross. And the Lord has laid that right before you, and He's trying to show you the way to get out of where you are, to move to the next stage in your experience. Take up your cross.
Amen.
That means self-denial. That means crucifixion to self, dying to self.
Amen.
But death is not an easy thing. We'd rather cover ourselves in fig leaves. We'd rather cover ourselves in religion, yeah? But we don't want to die. We don't want to pay the price. But friends, there's no glory without the cross.
Amen.
There's no resurrection power in whatever you're going through without the cross.
Amen.
But the moment you have the right attitude, the moment something moves and breaks inside of you, the moment you just make that decision inside of you to say, that's enough. I've had enough. I've wrestled with this long enough. I've striven and strived and laid on my bed and wrestled in my mind. I've been restless for far too long. I need to lay this aside. And I need to take up the cross. As soon as you make that decision, the relief comes.
Amen.
The burden goes. As soon as you make just that decision, because that's what the Lord's looking for, just the decision.
Amen.
Sometimes He won't even make you go all the way through with the action, like with Abraham. When He said, offer your son, he didn't have to offer his son. He didn't have to plunge the knife in. The Lord was just looking for that attitude. That's something that He was willing to lay everything else aside.
Amen.
Because He could see what the revealed will of God was.
Amen.
And then the blessing came down. And then God says, now I know that you love me more than anything.
Amen.
And friends, we're going to come to those junctions inside of our life.
Amen.
Where He's going to bring us to the choice. We're going to come to the place of the cross where there's an intersection of our ways with His ways. And oh, if you want to be a blessing, if you want to receive a blessing, if you want to be a blessing to others, make the right decision. Make the right choice. Don't wrestle and struggle and say, maybe if I move from here and go to there. Maybe if I change my job. Maybe if I change my house. No. You know where the change needs to be? It's an internal change. It's a change in your attitude. It's a change in your will. It's a surrendering, a submission of something. And that brings you into the next stage. And then afterwards you wonder to say, but why did I wrestle with that for so long? Why didn't I lay this aside? Why have I been struggling with this? Because friends, He knows what's best for us. He really does. Now Jesus, every step of the way, He was constrained by love. Every decision He made, it was because of divine love. That's when it becomes acceptable. Every cross He took up in His life, it was governed by divine love. And it's the same with us.
Amen.
That's when it becomes acceptable. When your motive and your objective is divine love. When the Lord asks you to lay something down and you do it because you love Him. Not because you're constrained to do it. Not because someone's forcing you to do it. There's no blessing in that. But when you make a decision because of your love for Him. Because you want to please Him. And He's asked you to lay something aside because it doesn't please Him. That's the right governing motive for a person to take up their cross. That's the mind that was in Christ. That's what governed Him in the process of the decisions that He made. Because every cross, which is appointed by God, has an appointed purpose. If that's a divine cross, if he's led you somewhere, there's a divine purpose. And friends, his purposes are always for the best. His ways are far above our ways. He knows what's best for us. But we sometimes can't see the next step. But he knows the only way I can get you there, you've got to take up this cross. You've got to deny yourself here. You've got to die to this. There's got to be a death so there can become a birth. There's got to be a crucifixion, the prophet says, before there can be a resurrection. And those are important junctures in our lives. Those are what move you from one pool to another in your experience. You get to those crises, those junctions in time. And Satan will be trying to take advantage, pull you the other way. But just make sure at that kind of a time, you stay in fellowship with him. And let your motive be governed by divine love. And see how it will help you at that kind of a time. It always does. It always works. Because that's the way that God blesses. Now, let's just look at a few principles here with Moses. The prophet speaking about Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses. I'll just remind you what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. No one forced him. He refused. He looked at what was being offered. He says, I don't want that.
Amen.
I want this.
Amen.
That was a decision he made. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather. It was choice.
Amen.
He chose. Amen. That's why up to today, Moses is one of the greatest men that ever lived. Amen. That's why in the annals of scripture, there's Moses, there's Paul, and then in our day, the prophet.
Amen.
Those three. They stand out above everybody else. Right in the Exodus times, right in the dispensational changes of time, there's something about this caliber of people. And you'll find these kinds of people, Moses, Paul, Brother Branham, they had this attitude. They forsook, they took up their cross stage by stage, stage by stage. Look at the prophet. Look at his life. His life was one continual ministry of ministering to others.
Amen.
He'd get home and his driveway is full of cars, people having traveled for miles and miles.
Amen.
He wakes up 2 o'clock in the morning, people sitting on his porch waiting to be prayed for. To get rest, he has to take his gun, go out 2 o'clock in the morning to the woods, sit between two trees to try to get some rest. Ah, friends, think of that kind of a life. Think of a life where he was away maybe sometimes 9, 10, 11 weeks, 2-3 months, he never gets home. And his daughter's phoning him saying, Daddy, please, we want you to come home. And his daughter's been born 9 months before, whatever, he's only ever seen his daughter once. In order for there to be any power in your service, there's got to be sacrifice.
Amen.
There can be no divine blessing without divine sacrifice. His glory comes down on sacrifice. The fire falls on sacrifice. If you're choosing just the easy way, that's the proportion of the glory that you'll get. But each of these people, like Moses, he chose it himself. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Verse 26. Esteeming. He esteemed it. This was something he valued. He looked and he said, I can have this palace. I can have this great reputation. Or I can go down there amongst the despised people of God. I can go among the slaves and the mud daubers. I can go there among the offscourings of this earth. And when he looked and he saw, this is the way of Christ. This is the reproach of Christ. The Bible says he esteemed, the reproaches of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt.
Amen.
And it's not amazing. God puts these things in the Bible because there'll be people here today that are about to sell the birthright for a girl at school that the majority of the people in the school, the other boys, will never even look at her. It's true.
Amen.
You'll find that somebody will be about to sell their birthright because of something so insignificant. And here's Moses that was offered a palace.
Amen.
Was offered to be the ruler of the superpower of the day. Was offered such riches and wealth and honor.
Amen.
And the man looked down in the mud pits. And he saw, this is the program of God.
Wow.
This is the plan of God.
Amen.
And he chose himself. He esteemed it. He laid aside those royal robes. He left the palace. He refused those things.
Amen.
And he went down among the Madobas. And that's why God exalted him up.
Amen.
And that's why God has given him a name that we esteem so greatly. Was because of the power of that choice, the power of that decision. But friends, some of us, just because we don't want to be unpopular with a few of our silly friends, yeah, worldly friends, we'll sell out the cause of Christ. We'll sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Shame on us. Shouldn't be like that. If you have a spiritual revelation of who Christ is, if you've met him and he's redeemed you, if you've tasted of the blessing of his kingdom, if he's visited your soul, if he's revealed anything of eternity to you, of eternal value, this world will mean nothing to you.
Amen.
This world will mean nothing to you.
Amen.
You will sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
These things are going to pass away. But that's why you can see a life that carries the cross, a real life of a disciple, it has to be someone who's had a spiritual experience. No natural person can make these kind of decisions. It was by faith that Moses did these things. It wasn't just natural. There's got to be a supernatural something take place in the life of a person. There's got to be a call. There's got to be a something that brings the seed in you to life. There's got to be a spiritual reality. There's got to be something that makes you esteem spiritual things. That you say, but this is far greater what I've got than what the world is trying to offer me. There's got to be that. That's why this message, friends, it should never lose its supernatural element. It should never be natural to you and I. Because just the natural side of the message, just the learning of the message, it's not going to do what it takes to live this kind of a life. But when his life gets into the message, and his life gets into you, and you bring those two things together, there's going to be the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Then you will have the same mind in you that was in Moses. You'll have the same mind in you that was in Christ. You'll have the same mind in you that was in Paul. You'll have the same mind in you that was in Brother Branham. And you'll find divine favor will be upon you as well. Just as much was there. But friends, we have to make the choice. Who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to serve? You cannot live this life with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It doesn't work. The prophet says Christianity, if it's not done perfectly, it doesn't work. You can't go on a Friday night and play around with your friends, doing all of these things, and then you think, come to church on a Sunday, it's going to do you much good. It's going to do you no good. Until you make a decision yourself. Until you esteem what Christ has done for you. Until there's something supernatural starts to move and you yield yourself to that supernatural. And then there comes a spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. And how precious and how much greater this kingdom is than the kingdoms of this world. And then the things of the message will start to mean something to you. Then they'll start to achieve in and through you the things that God wants them to achieve. But friends, let's never accept this cheap religion. This modern day religion, it's a fake, it's false, it's fig leaf religion. It'll never stand the judgment of the word. Like those fig leaves couldn't stand judgment in Eden. God has a provided way. But he calls us, come and follow me. But there's a price to be paid. You've got to do what I did. You've got to take up your cross the way that I took up my cross. And you've got to follow me. And it's not going to be an easy way that I'm going to lead you through. Because the way that I had to walk wasn't an easy way. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be reproach. There's going to be misunderstanding. There's going to be temptation. There's going to be separation from people that are dear to you. There's going to be misunderstandings with people.
Yes, sir.
That's the way of the cross, friends. That's the way of the cross. But oh, the reward. In this life and in the world to come. Because blessed are you when men revile you. Blessed are you when men persecute you. For the spirit of glory rests upon you, the Bible says. You will be in fellowship, the fellowship of his sufferings, when you're bearing his reproach. If you want to know what it is to walk with Christ, the sweetest walk is when you're suffering reproach, when you're suffering persecution, or when you're resisting temptation, when you take up your cross. There's no sweeter communion and fellowship with Christ than that. Amen. That's the time inside of your soul. The riches of Christ are so real. It's such a treasure house. Amen. But it's because of the attitude that we have. Look what he says in discernment of spirit. He says, look at Moses. When he came to a time that he displayed, all his life was the spirit of Christ. So there came a time that when you look in the life of Moses, it was the spirit of Christ. You can see this mind that was in Christ was in Moses. He says, because Christ was in him. Christ was in Moses by measure. He was born in the time of persecution. The children were killed to try to get to him, just exactly like Jesus. And we find out when he came to a place that the children of Israel had disobeyed in such a way until God was angry with them, God said, step aside, I'll destroy them. Moses threw himself in the path of God's judgment and said, take me before you take them. That's the mind of Christ. That was a man being governed by the mind of Christ. That was a man that all that he had, he was willing to lay it all aside to minister to his fellow attributes, like we saw on Friday. All that he had, all the resources that he had, all the favor that he had, when he had the mind of Christ, he wasn't just thinking of his own things. He wasn't just living a selfish life. He thought of his brethren. When the Lord says, I'm going to destroy them all, he threw himself in the breach. And he said, rather blot my name out of the book.
Amen.
That's not natural, friends. Amen. In order to take up a cross again, in order to live that kind of a life, you need a reality of divine things.
Amen.
You need the Spirit of Christ in you. You will never consistently carry the cross without the Holy Ghost. You can never.
Amen.
You'll start off and you'll get tired. And you'll lay it down, you'll go back to your old things. And you'll pick up the cross again next time somebody comes and preaches. Next time an evangelist passes through. You'll take up the cross. You'll have real, real, genuine intentions. And then after a while, you're going to lose the momentum because no man naturally can carry this cross.
Amen.
You can't. Even Jesus in his natural frame, he couldn't carry it. He fell under the weight of his own cross.
Mm.
It was too much naturally as a natural man.
Mm.
But friends, there was a supernatural power that enabled him to live that kind of a life.
Yes.
And you and I, he is the vine, we are the branches. The only way we can live this kind of a life, we've got to be abiding in the vine. Because later on we find the same Moses, when he was no longer drawing resources from the vine, yeah, he got offended with the people, took the rod and says, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock? That wasn't the mind of Christ governing the man anymore. And that's why the Lord says, because you did this and you glorified yourself before the people, you're not going to go into the promised land. Our friends, we need to be careful each step of the way. We can't look at past victories and past experiences. It's what attitude we have today that counts.
Amen.
What attitude do you have today? You might look back and say, when I was young as a believer, I used to travel for meetings. I used to sacrifice for the things of God. That's wonderful. That's treasures in heaven waiting for you. But what about today?
Amen.
What about today? What about your attitude today?
Amen.
What about the current crosses that are laying before you?
Right.
What about the attitude that is looking for you to have now? Because you wonder and say, but where's the blessing that I used to have? Where's the reality of Christ I used to have inside of my soul? Friends, it all is dependent on your attitude.
Amen.
You saw that in front of you. Your attitude produces the atmosphere. And God blesses when that atmosphere is right. So Moses couldn't keep looking back and saying, you know, I did this, that, and the other. He needed to keep carrying the cross to the end. And that's why the Lord keeps bringing us to these kind of places. The prophet says that about him. He says he threw himself because it was the spirit of Christ in Moses. In leadership, he says, listen what he rejected. He rejected the thrones and popularity. He could have had young girls. Moses. He could have. He could have had as many young girls as he wanted. He could have had wives by the hundreds. He could have had scepters under Egypt to rule the world. The world lay right at his feet. He was heir to every bit of it. But how did he overcome? But by looking in the scripture and seeing the day he was living in. And he knew that something in him, a predestinated seed, went to work. And that's the way it was with us.
Amen.
We were doing this and that in the world. Then God shone the light.
Amen.
God visited us. God showed us the message of the hour. We looked in the scriptures. We saw the day that we're living in. He revealed his purpose unto us. And something moved inside of us. There was a seed inside of there now that wasn't ordained to enjoy the pleasures of this world. That wasn't ordained to live that kind of a life. There was a something else that started to come to life just the way that it did inside of Moses. When he started to remember the word, when he looked at the conditions of the day, when he remembered what he had been told about his purpose that he had been called to, something began to move. Then the prophet says, I don't care how popular you could be. That's one of the three temptations, popularity. Many of us, we're selling out Christ because of worldly popularity. Many of us are selling out a heavenly calling for worldly popularity. And you know what the Lord does? Those very people that you're selling Christ out for, the Lord allows you to get into a crisis and every one of those people forsake you.
Amen.
And the very people in the faith that you were despising and looking down on, in your time of crisis, they're the ones who step into the breach for you.
Amen.
And the Lord is trying to teach you a lesson by those things.
Amen.
Don't seek worldly popularity.
Amen.
It's a vain thing, friends.
Amen.
It's a vain thing. It'll never stand the heat of persecution. It'll never stand the trials and the afflictions. But when you fellowship with those fellow attributes, your brethren, that God has ordained you to be with, we may have our own little misunderstandings, but let the crisis come and see who stands with you. Because there's predestination in this. The prophet says, I don't care how popular you could be or how this you could be. You could be this or that. But if that word of eternal life, by God's word, has been foreordained in you, and you see the thing is at hand, it goes to work moving out like that. And you'll see it in the lives of people. There's just certain people, they just come under the message of the hour. Something strikes. Something starts wanting to express itself. They'll still have some of the old attributes in the flesh. They'll still have some of the old burdens and bondages that want to hold on to them for a season. But something's come to life.
Amen.
There's something there's a deep inside that's seeking for expression now.
Amen.
And they can't be satisfied with the world anymore.
Amen.
They can't be. Friends, you can't be.
Amen.
You can't be. If you can go back today to the world, if you can go back and put on your old worldly music and enjoy that music again, if you can go back to the old places that you used to hang out with, the old friends and speak the old conversation, and you still feel at home there, the work hasn't even started in you.
Amen.
The work hasn't started in you.
Amen.
It hasn't.
Amen.
You might get caught up by emotion. You might get caught up because other people are getting caught up. But friends, when that something moves inside of you, you will never be the same.
Amen.
You will never be satisfied with the kingdoms of this world again. And that's what the prophet says about Moses. And he says, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures than all the riches of Egypt. He esteemed that. Watch what he did. He followed it. So when he esteemed it, it's not enough just to esteem something.
Amen.
It's not enough just to look down and see, but hey, God's glory is among those people in the mud. God's promises amongst those people living in Goshen. God's people are living there, slaves in this land. He didn't just esteem it, but he followed it.
Amen. Amen.
That's the missing point many times.
Yes.
We'll say, I want that. I want to be a believer. I don't want to do these things anymore. Put some sweat onto it.
Amen.
Put some toil onto it.
Amen.
Put some effort into it.
Amen.
Take up your cross.
Amen.
Deny yourself and let that life start to express itself.
Amen.
There's no other way.
Amen.
Moses was willing at that juncture to take up his cross.
Amen.
To deny himself.
Amen.
And Moses denied himself of probably more than all of us combined here today had to deny ourselves of. The potential and the possibility that he had, rightfully his. But he denied himself. He followed it. And as soon as he followed it, he was quickly ousted from his people, from Pharaoh and his people. The people that once loved him. The same people that loved him. Is that not the testimony of every believer? You become an oddball. People don't understand you. People think you're wasting your talents, wasting your abilities. Yeah? I've seen it. Just a couple of weeks, my niece became a Christian. And her parents, my brother and them, are really not wanting her to follow the way of the faith. And the one thing which they brought up to tell her not to follow this faith that you believe, they said, Andrew, when he was at school, he was such a clever guy. But he's wasted all of his talents. You see? They can't understand it. To me, I haven't wasted a single talent. This is the purpose that he gave us, the things that he gave us for. But to the natural people, like when they looked at Moses, he's wasting it. He could have been on the throne. He could have been a big man in this world. Friends, that's why you'll see, without Christ, we're blind. We don't understand the realities of things. You don't understand what's what. The prophet says he was ousted. He says it might cost you everything you've got. Now let me ask you, are you willing to pay the price? Because if you're not willing to pay that price, you're not his disciple. Amen. You cannot be his disciple if you're not willing, if required, to lay it all down. Amen. That's a condition of discipleship in the first century, in the days of Christ. That condition of discipleship will never change.
Amen.
If we want to be the, what does Brother Vin call it? The matching piece of the masterpiece, yeah? He was the masterpiece. We the bride. There's got to be a matching piece. He can't have been made out of certain material, Christ. That he was willing to lay everything down. He was willing to step into spiritual death. He was willing to forsake the kingdoms of this world. Forsake riches. Forsake honor. Forsake a good reputation. He was willing to forsake it all. Then he says, if you want to be my disciple, come and follow me. Sounds hard.
Amen.
But there's a people that are predestinated unto it. And to them it's not hard. As long as you just allow his spirit to dwell in you, you naturally express these things. But if you cater to the first Adam, the old man, what happened in Eden? Adam sold out the kingdom of God because of his love for Eve. Yeah? He sold out the kingdom of God. That's what this first Adam, this is what your first husband, this body will do to you, your first nature. It'll make you sell out the very purpose that you were born for.
Amen.
If you give heed to it. But there's the second Adam. If you pay heed unto the second Adam, he will lead you to things you never dreamed about.
Amen.
He will lead you to things that were potential in you that you never knew that potential existed in you. But it just depends on which of these we're going to pay heed to, friends. Now, there's people in this age, and all they want is salvation. We know that. They just want to, like Brother Johnny Reagan once preached, he said, all they want to do, they just want to follow the cross of Christ. They don't want to look at their own cross. Yeah? But there's your own cross. So they'll accept the cross of Christ that he died for, and that's wonderful. But that doesn't make you a disciple. That may get you forgiven of your sin. But you're going to a tribulation because you don't have the character. You haven't been walking with him in your age.
Amen.
But to be in the rapture, to be his bride, you have to be his disciple.
Amen.
And to be a disciple, he says, if any man would be my disciple, let him take up his cross.
Amen.
Let him die daily, Jesus said, and follow me. And that's how we speak of Enoch walking with God. That's how you walk with God. You can't walk with the world and walk with God. You can't esteem worldly things ahead of God and say, I'm walking with God. It doesn't work like that. You've got to deny the world where it contradicts the walk that God wants you to walk. Doesn't mean you have to forsake everything unless you're called to. The rich young ruler was told to forsake all of his riches because that was the hindrance for him walking with Christ. You may not have to forsake all things, but friends, when it comes down to the crunch, when he's dealing with you, when he keeps bringing you back to the same point, When there's a spiritual blockage in your experience.
Amen.
When you could see you are making progress, but you're not making it anymore. The weakness here is you're not taking up your cross.
Amen.
You're dodging the cross. You're blaming other people for your condition. Face up to it. Face up to it. Adam didn't want to face up to his responsibility. But Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane faced up to responsibility. The prophet says, where Adam went the way of Tarshish, the easy way, Jesus went the way of Nineveh.
Amen.
The harder way to get a Gentile bride.
Yes.
And friends, his bride is made of the same material. The same word that he was is in you. And greater is in he that is in you than is in the world.
Amen.
If you'll just allow it to express itself, it'll overcome the world. Jesus says, do not fear. I've already overcome the world. That's where the overcoming comes in. That's how the prophet says. He refused. He esteemed it. He followed it. He says it may cost you everything. I don't know what it'll cost you, but it'll cost everything that's worldly or pertains to this world. If you want to walk with Christ, it's going to cost you everything worldly inside of your life. Many people say, but I've been praying for so long to receive the Holy Ghost. The prophet says, this is where the problem comes.
Amen.
He says, because we haven't fully died.
Amen.
He says, the fire cannot come on the sacrifice until that sacrifice is fully laid upon the
Amen.
Altar. He says, Abel was willing to die with the same lamb that died for him.
Amen.
He died on the same altar as his lamb. And the prophet says, we have to die on the same altar. And what is the altar? It's the cross. That was the altar that the lamb was offered and was on the cross. Friends, you may not have to forsake a lot of things, but God's going to test your willingness.
Amen.
He's going to see to make sure that you don't love anything ahead of him.
Amen.
And if he does, that becomes a hard place in your experience. That becomes a dry place. That becomes a valley, a death walk if you're not careful, because you keep going round and around and around, coming back to the same thing. And what you've got to do is assume personal responsibility.
Amen.
Stop blaming other people.
Amen.
Stop looking at other people and saying it's their fault that I'm in this situation. There's nothing like that.
Amen.
Those are just God's instrumentality to bring you to the cross.
Amen.
He's allowed all those circumstances to work like he did with Jacob, to put you in a corner that you can't run anymore.
Amen.
That you won't make excuses anymore for this, that, and the other inside of your life. But he wants to reveal himself to you in a way. He wants to do something for you. He wants to resurrect you from that valley that you've been in for so long. But resurrection is only after the cross. You've got to take up that cross. You've got to die to self. And death isn't an easy thing. And then the power of the resurrection will come and quicken you from there. And he'll move you on in your experience. He'll move you on in the next stage of your life. There's no other way. Friends, let's not fool ourselves. There's no other way.
Amen.
There's no other Christianity.
Amen.
Everything else is Christianity in name, but it's not the real thing. Real Christianity, it's discipleship.
Amen.
Discipleship. Discipleship is self-denial.
Amen.
Discipleship is because you esteem him.
Amen.
Greater than anything else, you lay aside anything to continue to walk with him. And that's how Paul said, I counted all things but dung, refuse, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, to be conformed unto his death. Ah, friends. That's what the prophet says. That's the message, friends. That's the restoration of what they had in the beginning.
Amen.
That's the restoration of the gospel that was there in the beginning. That, oh, friends, there's another altar that's being built today. But I'm so glad Elijah came and restored the original altar.
Amen.
He showed us how to bring the fire down on the altar once again.
Amen.
He showed us, build it the original way. Don't accept the shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. Shortcuts are long cuts. You'll think it's a shortcut like Jonah and it's going to take a lot. Sin's going to take you a lot further than you ever expected it to take you.
Amen.
And keep you there longer than you ever expected to stay. That's how when he gives you the opportunity, friend, do it with all your heart.
Amen.
Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Amen.
That's the first and greatest commandment. And then love your neighbor as yourself. But you cannot do it unless this mind that was in him is also in you. And that's a supernatural mind that you have to give the preeminence to in your experience. Because even though that mind is in you, you've still got your old natural man. He's got his mind. Jesus had his mind in Gethsemane. He didn't want to have to take up the cross. He had his will. But friends, he was willing to take up his cross. And he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, if you want to receive glory, the way that I'm going to take you to inherit glory in this world and the world to come, he says, this is the only way. This is the only, it's the way of the cross. There's no crown in the kingdom of God without first being a cross. The cross always precedes the crown. Look at David. Look at Joseph. Look at all of them that went to great preeminence. Look at the crosses they had to bear. Look at what they had to go through. Joseph could have been in prison and blamed his brothers until the end of time. It would have done no good to him until he saw the divine purpose in him being there. And the prophet said he remembered the visions of his youth. He knew there must be a divine purpose in this captivity that I'm in. And he kept the right attitude. And because he kept the right attitude, God quickened the gift that was in him. And that gift that was in him was the very instrument of his deliverance out of that condition into the next stage of his experience. Exactly the same with you and I. Get the right attitude, saints. Get the attitude right. Nothing's going wrong inside of your life. The only thing that's wrong is your attitude. You've allowed the devil to speak to you. Keep the right attitude and God will use the very thing that's in you. He'll quicken it in due season to bring you out of that situation. Just like he did with his people back there. Now listen about, the prophet speaks about the influence of Moses' mother. This is in the message, The Power of God, 1955. He says, so she trained Moses. And he said, mother, I understand, but now, what was you saying that Jehovah was going to do? So when he was young. And she began to read to him by faith. Oh, friends. If he could do that with our children. Amen. If he could read to them by faith. Amen. Because maybe it's not yet their season. It wasn't yet Moses' season for the seed to come to life. But it imparted something in him because the seed was in him. It prepared the way for what Jehovah was going to do later. Amen. Because she read to him by faith. Now listen to what the prophet says. And when he became aged to take the throne, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? For by faith, he saw what it did for his mother. And he took the same thing. Ah, oh, friends, what a challenge to us as parents. That when the world comes, the devil offers our young people in that season of life, the riches of this world, the pleasures of Egypt. But there may have been such an expression of the real thing in you and I. Amen. That it leaves such an imprint in the lives of our children. Amen. The prophet says, just because of what he had seen in his mother, how that faith had been expressed in her, he refused the palace of Egypt. He hadn't yet met the burning bush. Ah, oh, friends, what a thing that his mother did for him. In the annals of Scripture, what a great mother that she was. Amen. She's one of the great heroes of the faith. Surely, friends, by faith, the things that she did. Amen. And just the impact that she put upon him. He says, by faith, he saw what was done for his, what it did for his mother. And he took the same thing. Then the prophet says, don't stop there. I see what it did for Paul. I see what it did for Peter. I see what it's done for others. And I want the same thing by faith. Amen. When I see what this mind did in the prophet, when I see what this mind did in the great heroes of the faith, doesn't it move something inside of you to say, amen, I want that same attitude. Amen. I want that same approach to life that they had. I want that same mind that was in them to also be in me. Amen. And that's why God gives us examples. He sets people before us and around us to influence us. That even in our human imperfections, we reflect that something genuine to people. And when maybe they don't even accept it at that time and they go out in life and get caught up in all manner of things. And then when the season comes now for God to deal with, they'll remember you. They'll remember because they saw a reflection of something in you. And they'll bypass all of man's religion of the day. And they'll come to you. Would that not be a great reward? Friends, would it not be worth anything that you have to go through if your son came to, your daughter came to one day and said, Dad, I want to walk the same footsteps. Because I want the same thing that I see in you to be in me. But that's what it was with Moses' mother, the prophet says. He says, in Exodus 1956, he says, Moses, being spiritual, understood that God was going to take out the children of Israel and that he called him to do it. Now, he tried to do it by himself. There was a time he didn't have the mind of Christ. He was trying to do it himself. There was a time he tried to do it without meeting the supernatural first. It's not going to work. You can't take up this cross in your own strength. You can't do it in your own ability. You cannot have the mind of Christ without the supernatural moving in. You can't do it. You can't. Because the attitude that you'll have doing it then, you'll never have the right attitude. You'll be under the law. You'll be under bondage because you'll be doing things that you don't have any spiritual enjoyment to do. When you're asked to forsake certain things, there's no spiritual recompense at the same time. There's no reality of spiritual fellowship and communion which far outweighs the things that you're giving up. So very soon you tire. Very soon you say, I tried, but I don't think this is for me. This is hard. Why? Because you're going about it the right way. We are not called to carry this cross in our own strength. You cannot carry it in your own strength. But he says, as many as receive him, if you just have the right attitude to him and his word, he gives you power to become the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Philippians says that it's he that began the good work. Then he says that it is he that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He has to give you the desire and then he gives you the power when you have the right attitude. Friends, you've got to get it right. Like Brother Lubanz was saying, that gate to the soul, that free will, that choice, that attitude, that decision making that we make there, that's the key to all of these things. That's the key. But anybody who's ever met Jesus Christ in a supernatural way, anybody who's ever had the real revelation of Jesus Christ, which the prophet says brings the new birth, oh, friends, there's no problem inside of there. Amen. You just want him. You just want to be more like him. You just want to walk with him, even if there's affliction, even if all society doesn't understand you, even if all your old friends forsake you, but his friendship, his society, his fellowship is far greater riches than all of the things that you're giving up. Amen. And that's why it's not hard for someone who's born again to walk with Christ in this age. Amen. It's not hard, but try to do it yourself. It's impossible. I've seen young people say, I tried to be born again, but it didn't work. So let me go and try the world. You just didn't go about it the right way. You can't do it yourself. But if your attitude is right, and there's something that moves inside of you, approach him the right way and see what he does. Approach him the right way. The prophet says he tried to do it himself. That's what's the matter with a lot of people today. You try to bring healing to yourself. You try to work up your own salvation. That's not God's program. That's religion, but it's not salvation. So there's a great difference. God's way has salvation. God's way has Zoe life in it. God's way has virtue and power and unction and strength. God's way has everything that you need. But our own ways, it's a hard way. It's a hard way. And some of us, like us, have been beating our heads for a long time because we're wanting God to open the door, but we're trying to do it our own way. We're wanting things to change, but we're trying to do it our own way. Surely the time has come to admit defeat. Surely the time has come not just to push on and push on. They say, what is the definition of a fool? Yeah, somebody who does things 9 times and doesn't work and he continues doing it the 10th and thinks it's going to work. That's the definition of a fool. If you're doing the same thing and it's not working, surely there's got to come a time that you realize this isn't going to work. Amen. I'm doing it wrong. I'm not following divine principles here. When the prophet went round and around in the death walk, he came to a stage where he admitted defeat. And he humbled himself and he said, Father, forgive me. I thought I was a guide. I thought I couldn't be lost. He had to humble himself, and that's when God did something which he couldn't do. God opened the clouds all the way up to Hurricane Mountain. And then laid his hand and turned him around and showed him the way of escape. that it needed a change of attitude.
Amen.
He may have been sincere before in what he was doing, but he needed a change of attitude to get down on his knees, take off his hat, humble himself. And then God showed the way out of the situation that he was in. Our friends, don't stay there. Don't stay there. It's a hard place. Being out of the will of God, or resisting the will of God, or failing to understand that junction in your experience is a very hard thing.
Amen.
If you don't go God's provided way. But if you look at it and say, but Lord, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Like Jesus did. When Jesus came to persecution, he never resisted persecution. He never fought. When he came to the cross, he never resisted the cross. He knew my footsteps have been ordained to pass this way. My footsteps have been ordained to pass through this cross.
Amen.
Therefore, I take up my cross and I move on.
Yes,
and friends, whatever we're going through today, it's not a mistake.
Right.
God's footprints have ordained you to be where you are. God's plan has ordained you to be where you are. God knows what he's trying to achieve in your current situation.
Amen.
And the quicker you can just willingly, like a lamb, lay yourself upon the altar and say, Jesus, I don't want to kick anymore. I don't want my rights here anymore. That's keeping me in this place that I can't move on with you. But I know you are the God of continuity. You are the God of progress. You don't want me to get stuck here at this mountain for so long. But it's a change of attitude. That's all that's needed. Just that something to break inside of you. Just to make that decision within the veil there and say, I want it to change. Father, not my will. But thy will be done. Lord, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm not going to justify myself anymore. I'm not going to push my own way here anymore. Lord, I'm surrendering it to you. I'm in your hands. You take me from here one step at a time. You show me the way of escape. If it means I've got to take up my cross, if it means I've got to be embarrassed, if it means I've got to go and confess, if it means I've got to have the skin taken off my nose by going to say sorry to people that I did things wrong to, if that's the only way to get myself out of this situation, oh, Jesus. If you suffered the shame hanging naked before the people for me, so that you could minister an entrance to me into your glory, how much more should I be willing to lay aside my own reputation because of my own mistakes, my own sins, my own transgressions? How can I hold on to my reputation? When you forsook your reputation, when you were the only one that really had a reputation that was worth keeping. Friends, we shouldn't be doing these kind of things. It holds us back from our adoption, because beyond the cross is the next stage in your adoption.
Amen.
And then he'll take, and then maybe he'll have to bring you to another cross, another time of decision. Because there's a certain door inside of your experience that you're not opening up to him. And he's knocking on the door, but you have to open it up.
Amen.
And you're looking and saying, no, I don't want to open because there's a cross there. There's too much of a price to be paid. It means I'm not going to be able to be the big guy at work anymore. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be the hot shot in the neighborhood like I was before. If I accept this, but friends, it's the greatest thing you can do.
Amen.
No man ever accepted a cross, a divinely appointed cross, and ever regretted it.
Amen.
You will never regret it.
Amen.
Because the power of the resurrection, the power of his glory, will so minister to you the other side of the cross, that you'll regret and say, why did I hold on to this for so long? Why didn't I just let him in? Ah, friends, let him in today.
Amen.
Make the decision now inside of yourself. Amen. Say, Jesus, it's been far too long.
Amen.
I've been at this mountain too long.
Yes.
I've been wrestling with your will for too long. I've been leaning on my own understanding too long. I've been trying to do it my own way for far too long. But Jesus, today's the day.
Amen.
Today's the day that I go the next stage in my discipleship. Because I want to be a disciple. I don't just want to be saved. I want to be a disciple. I want adoption. I want your authority. I want to move on. I want the fullness of what you have for me to be expressed. Ah, friends. It's a call at the beginning of the year. Let's forget the things that are behind. Let's lay them aside. And let's press on towards this great prize.
Amen.
The high calling in Christ.
Amen.
There's a higher stage you want you to take. There's the next stage of your ministry. But first you need to overcome the present stage of your ministry.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have
And some of us, we've been there far too long.
Amen.
Because you're blaming everybody else.
Amen.
Go and look in the mirror when you get home. Oh, remember the song says, I was wondering who crucified the Lord. And then I went and I looked in the mirror. Then I saw the man who crucified the Lord.
Amen.
We might have thought it was the tax collectors who did it. It was the Romans who did it. It was the drunkards who put him there. But friends, you and I put him there.
Amen.
And we need to go and look in the mirror and say, it's my decisions, it's my attitude, it's my conduct that has put me in the situation that I am. And God has allowed other people to come and do a lot of things to us. What to do? To bring us to the stage that we realize that, and then we make a willing decision. We take up the cross, deny ourselves, die out. So I don't care what people think about me anymore. I don't care what people think. There's only one opinion that counts, and that's his opinion. And he'll take us on from there. Look what the prophet says about Moses' wife. Another cross. We know this one from an Exodus. He said he tried it in himself. He says, notice he failed miserably. Ran into the desert for 40 years. Where he married this Ethiopian woman, Zipporah. And she was high-tempered. Friends, this man was out of the will of God. God made sure he wasn't going to be comfortable out of the will of God. It's like Jonah when he was out of the will of God. Here came the storm. Here came the waves. Here came the fear. All of those kind of things. Well, he wasn't ordained to that. He wasn't ordained to that journey to Tarshish. He was ordained. The bloody footprints were to Nineveh.
Amen.
And that's when the storms come in our lives. That's when the barren time comes in our soul. When our footsteps aren't following his. We've forsaken the way of the cross. We forsook the way of discipleship. And Moses had long forgotten the sufferings of the people, the prophet says. And he went back and said, oh, this is good. I'll make my business being a sheep herder. That wasn't his calling.
Amen.
That wasn't his calling. The prophet says she was high-tempered and Moses was too. So I guess there was some little trouble on the backside of the desert once in a while. He says, don't turn your wife down because she's got a little temper. Maybe that's your cross. Maybe that's your cross. If you went and married in the world, you've got a serious cross in your house. Oh, I've seen people who have to bear those kinds of crosses. It ain't easy.
Amen.
When you choose the way of Tarshish, and you don't choose the way of Nineveh to get yourself a wife, be careful. Be careful. Many saints know those kind of things. You'll find it's a cross. It's a burden. It's something that that person has to keep denying themselves, denying themselves. It's not easy, but God's got a lesson in those kind of things. The prophet says, maybe that's your cross. God might have given it to kind of keep you lined up. God knows how to keep us lined up. Let's read a couple more, then we finish. He says, and why Christ speak? He says, now, Moses with his great faith. So he had great faith again. Could say no to the present things of the present world. Oh, that great revelation that he had. What was his revelation? He made a righteous choice. He chose to suffer afflictions with the people of God. Why? His faith. He saw the promise. He saw the end time. He saw over in tomorrow. And he let his faith loose. Ah, friends. Can you not see into tomorrow? Can you not see right in the end time? Let your faith loose. He didn't pay no attention to what his eyes saw in the possibilities here. That he was to be Pharaoh. He was going to be Pharaoh. But he looked plumb over into tomorrow. He says, oh, if people could only do that. If they didn't see the present world. If you look at the present world, you'll make a choice with it. Hide your eyes from that. Look at the promise of God way over in tomorrow. By faith he could choose. He did choose. He chose to be called the son of Abraham. And refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Oh, friends. I refuse to be called a Laodicean. I refuse. I refuse to be called a son of whatever. I want to be a son of God. That's it.
Amen.
He looked himself, he says, I could be the son of Pharaoh. But the real something in me, the something that ministers in me, the something that's moving in me, is not the son of Pharaoh. This is the son of Abraham. It was the seed of Abraham. He did choose to be called the son of Abraham. Egypt had the world whipped, and he was the king of the world, a young man, 40 years old, ready to take the throne. Then he says, look what happened to him. Look at the woman would have laid around him. Day by day, harems of them. Look at the glamour. To sit and drink wine and watch the striptease before him as they danced and fanned him. And women from all over the world. And jewels and treasures. And his armies out there. And the only thing he had to do is sit and eat his fine food and say, send army garrison numbers so-and-so down to so-and-so and take that nation I believe I just wanted. That's all he had to do. Sit there and then fan him and hold his mouth open. Lovely, beautiful stripteases of the day, pouring wine into his mouth. But what did he do? He looked away from that. Because he knew fire was there ready for that. He knew death laid in that line. Oh, friends. He knew there were plagues going to come upon that. There was going to be death coming upon that. There was going to become Jehovah's judgments coming upon that. And that's why he looked by faith, not at what he had, but he looked at tomorrow. He looked at what was to come, and he made the decision. What did he do? He looked over to a bunch of despised and rejected people. And by faith, he chose to suffer the reproach of Christ and called himself, I'm a son of Abraham. I'm no son of this Pharaoh. Though you make me a bishop, a deacon, archbishop, or a pope, I'm no son of this thing. Amen. I'm a son of Abraham. Amen. And I separate myself from the things of the world. Amen. Because when God called Abraham, it was a call to separation.
Amen.
When God called Abraham, it was a call to separate himself so that God could show his glory through Abraham and his seed to the nations of the world. That was the call to the seed of Abraham. And that's the call to the seed of Abraham today. It's a call to separation from the things of the world. That the first thing you need is a revelation that you are a son of Abraham. That you're not a son of Pharaoh. That you're not a son of this dispensation. That you're not a son of this present world order. But you are a son of God. That you are a son of the Most High. That you are a daughter of the Most High. That there's a seed in you, and that seed has been ordained and has been called and has been anointed and quickened to show forth his glory in this age. And apart from that, you will never be satisfied. You will never. You might go 40 years in the backside of the desert. You will never be satisfied. You may try to become a big man in society. You may try to become a big person in the affairs of this life. You will never be satisfied. But when you come back to that original calling once again and you take up your cross and you lay yourself upon the altar and say, Father, glorify your name. Let your will be done in me. And you're willing to pay the price to keep the glory in your experience. There's a price to be paid to keep in fellowship with Christ. If you want to be in fellowship with him tomorrow, there's going to be a price to be paid. If you want the reality of Christ on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, there's a price to be paid. It's a price of separation. It's a price of kneeling down, of drawing near, of seeking his face, of esteeming his fellowship greater than the fellowship of the other things that you could have been doing, and waiting upon him and letting him minister once again his glory into your experience. And then, friends, it's nothing to you to give up the things of the world. It's nothing for you to forsake the riches and the treasures of Egypt. Look how he finishes with a hidden life in Christ, just to show that principle. He says, every year the high priest entered into the most holy place. The congregation followed him up. The veil dropped. No one dared to go after him. He was alone with God. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life. What is a consecrated life? It's a life that daily takes up the cross. Who, when they once enter in with Christ, are dead to the things of the world. Hidden away with God. The veil's dropped down round and the world has been shut off. Then Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure to every believer. Ah, friends, that's when you esteem the riches of Christ. When you shut yourself with Him and He starts to reveal to you the unsearchable riches in His Word. When He starts to reveal to you the unsearchable riches of His mind. When He starts to reveal to you the glories of His presence. The glories of His virtue. The glories of His comfort. The glories of His fellowship. He says, but today, people just have enough religion to make them miserable. Is that not true? People just have enough religion to make them miserable. Knowing that they ought to do this or try to do that. Says all they're trying to do is escape hell. Well, if that's the way I felt about it, brother, I don't know what I would do. But oh, to get in with Christ. Amen. Shut off from the things of the world. For to commune with Him is a pleasure. Amen. When they came out of the upper room, the people said they're drunk with new wine. Friends, had something far greater than new wine. Amen. Spiritual revelation, stimulation. It's far greater than drugs in this world. It's far greater than what alcohol can offer to you. His favor, His blessing is far greater, far more satisfying than all of the pats on the back that your friends in this life can give you. Amen. Shut off from the things of the world. It satisfies the soul. And something that gives you peace that passes all understanding. All the crosses then become flying wings. All the burdens are chariot wheels. Oh, you can fly away. My burdens are light, Jesus said. Yoke up with Him. The yoke is all padded with hallelujahs. Is that not true? When He's in your trial, friends, it's padded with hallelujahs. It's padded with praise. It's padded with thanksgiving. When He's together with you, when you've yoked up together with Him, when you take up that cross and you find He's there to help you along the way. Friends, what a sweet thing that it is. Then you find that cross, the prophet says it becomes flying wings to take you to another dimension. He says those burdens are chariot wheels to take you into the presence of the King. My burdens are light. His yoke is all padded with hallelujahs. When once you're inside the veil with Him, He becomes your life. Amen. That's Christianity, friends. Nothing else is Christianity. Amen. For to know Him is life. Amen. Not to know about Him. No. Not to know people who know Him. No. But for you to know Him is life. Amen. That's where life is. At His right hand, the Bible says, are pleasures evermore. Amen. When you come into His courts, and He ministers you deeper into the holy place. And then He ministers you deeper into the most holy place. And there's His Shekinah glory there. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. It's soundproof, the prophecies. You don't hear the things of the world anymore. You just see His glory. And He says, and you can reach into that pot of manna that always remains fresh. And you're eating of the hidden manna within the holy place. The candlesticks never grow dim. The light of the sun never fades because you're living in the Shekinah. The light is constant. It's ever present. His fellowship, His communion for you is always there. Whenever you need something, He's never far away. Amen. Our friends, that's a life that He calls us to. Amen. But there's a price. It's the way of the cross. Are you willing to take up your cross today? Amen. Many people started well, but they laid their crosses down because it was costing them too much. Why not get back into fellowship with Him? Amen. And let Him minister His glory into you once again. And take up your cross and let's follow the Lord. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing that song, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Then it says, the consecrated cross I'll bear. Until when? Until death shall set me free. That's the believer's life.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free. No, there's a cause for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till
Friends, let's make a choice today. Let's meditate on the words.
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
It's waiting for you because of what you decided. Oh, that was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger.
Trials, this path has many trials, and not much time remaining. There is not much time remaining. Oh, to hold in this mind. We can already hear the chariot of our beloved one coming to meet us. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path.
Close eyes. We just want to address different people today. Firstly, you young people. The Bible says, serve thy Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days draw near. I'm so glad I made that decision. And I took up my cross when I was 19 years old. I was in university. It was the most wicked place. There was sin all around. There was pleasure. There were so many things. But oh, friends, when he came my way, when he sent someone my way to reveal unto me the hour, to reveal unto me that grace that I could look into tomorrow, I forsook those things and bore the reproach of the word. And I've never regretted it from one day to now. It's the greatest thing I ever did. I just wish I'd never got involved in the things that I did before that time. And I would say to you young people today, weigh things up.
Hallelujah.
Where are you today? Where do you stand in relation to Christ? Not just intellectual belief, but inside of your soul. Do you have a living relationship with Christ?
Amen.
That's what he's looking for. If you don't, you may have been baptized, which was a good start. But I'm just saying it to you today. Take up your cross. Amen. Crucify that thing that is hindering him from taking you the next stage in your experience. It may be a girl and she may be ever so pretty. All of the chemistry of your body may desire that girl. But if I were you, I would esteem the riches of Christ far greater than anything that this flesh could offer. Because you don't know where she's going to be next year, and you don't know where you're going to be next year. It's a value of decision. Make up your mind.
Amen.
Elijah said, how long hold you between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. If Jesus Christ is who he said that he is, if he's done for you what the Bible says that he's done, he's worthy of all that you can give and more. But there's a devil and he wants to hold you back. He wants to lie to you. He wants to tell you that you're missing out on something. He wants to tell you to put it off till tomorrow. That's a lie from hell. You need to resist him in Jesus' name. Don't listen to things like that. Where's the rich young ruler today? Ask yourself that question. He stood in the presence of eternal life. Eternal life spoke to him. Eternal life told him, go and take up your cross. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me and you'll have eternal life. And it says he went away sad. Where is he today? He's in the regions of the damned. He's just wishing he could have just one opportunity, which you've got today. He's just wishing if only I could just have one more chance to go back up there and respond the right way. That's all that he's desiring. Where is Pharaoh today? Where's all the glory of Egypt today? It's 20 foot under the sand. Where is Pharaoh? He's in the regions of the lost. Where there's a fearful looking forward to of judgment, the Bible says. Fiery indignation. They're just waiting for the judgment. My friend, wake up today. Shake yourself. Where are your decisions going to take you? Where are your decisions? How many chances do you think Jesus has to give to you? How many did he give to the rich young ruler? He gave him one chance. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. The Bible says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, but humble yourself. Make that decision inside of yourself. Say, Jesus, I don't care about that girl anymore. I don't care what my friends at school are going to say. They're not going to stand with me on judgment day. They didn't die for me. They didn't shed their blood for me. But you died for me. You loved me. You bore a cross that you didn't even have to take for me. Shame on us when he put the things of the world ahead of the things of Christ. When he's offering us the greatest of things, he's offering us eternal life. He's offering us fellowship and communion with him in this life. Divine favor upon all the things that do in this life and in the world to come, eternal life. I'm just asking of you young people, consider your ways.
Amen.
Consider your ways today.
Amen.
Many of you have been in the valley of decision far too long. It's not good for you. It's not safe to keep procrastinating concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Come out clear for Christ.
Amen.
Make a decision. And if you do that, to those who haven't been baptized, the pool will be ready for you next week so that you can make a public profession of faith. To say, I've taken up my cross. I'm entering the path of discipleship today. I don't want just easy believism like this age has, that I can think of a Jesus who died 2,000 years ago. No, he wants to be real to you today. He wants to be Lord of your life today. And then I'll address this one more group of people. Those people that have been in the valley of decision for too long. Those people that you know the Lord is trying to get you to change. He's bringing circumstances across your way. You keep coming into difficult situations. You keep coming into dry places. You keep having conflict and confusion in your home. Conflict and confusion here and then everywhere. And the problem is you're blaming everybody else. Today is the day you need to put up your white flag and you need to surrender yourself and say, Lord, I'm the one to blame. I'm the primary reason for the situation that I'm in. Others are accountable for what they've done, but Lord, surely you're wanting me to take up my cross. And I'm asking those people today, take up your cross. Crucify your own ideas. Crucify your own understanding. Lay aside your own opinions of things.
Amen.
Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And he will exalt you.
Hallelujah.
He'll take you out of that situation. But it's got to be a clear-cut decision. There's got to be no blame game anymore. Blaming other people for your current situation. Friends, your family is looking at you. Your children are looking at you. Other people are looking at you. The best thing you can do for them and for yourself is to lay yourself on the altar today.
Amen.
And say, Lord, it's been too long, this death walk. Lord, let the wind blow and let me see Hurricane Mountain once again.
Amen.
Take off your hat, humble yourself,
Admit that you haven't been very successful in the way that you've been trying to live your life. Because look where it continually brings you to. And then why not speak to him about it and say, Jesus, just so simply, just a decision in your soul, say, Jesus, I've resisted and I've wrestled. I've been restless for too long. But today I surrender it to you. All to Jesus I surrender. Let's sing that chorus and let's come to a time of prayer. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Forward while we pray, but let's speak to the Lord. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's all call upon his name. Just ask of me that you would speak in every situation, Father, we come to you for your goodness, Lord. Father, passing by,
But you privileged us, Lord Savior God. Father, we don't want, Lord Savior, Lord, Father, for them just to be, Lord Savior, another occurrence, Lord, but Lord, for these things, Lord Savior God, to be something of great value to us and importance, O God. Yes, we look to thee now, you be glorified, you be lifted above all, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Saints, let's all stand. Let's stand. Let's open Matthew chapter 19, just to read a scripture. Decisions. The prophet says, when a man chooses his wife, it's a great decision. When a woman chooses a husband, it's a very, very weighty decision to make. The prophet says you should do it prayerfully and advisably. That's the way it should be done. Why? Because Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You may be seated, saints. I just want to say just a few words here before we call the brother and the sister to come up. Now, Jesus is saying a very serious thing that he's saying, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. No, God really, really takes the marriage covenant very seriously. Now, the marriage covenant, in this day, it's like it's nothing to people. But every single person will be held accountable for it. It's a very sacred, it's a very blessed, but it's a very serious thing as well. Listen to what the prophet says in COD, question 342. We know this one. We were married 21 years ago by the justice of the peace. Was it wrong? Yes, it was wrong for you to do that. Marriage belongs in the house of God.
Amen.
Why should marriage be done in the house of God? Because marriage was instituted in Eden, in God's provided place of worship right back there. And if you see God's perfect plan there, God provided a bride for his son. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Adam never left Eden to go and hunt somewhere for a wife outside of Eden. God was the one who had a provision for him. There was someone suited just for him, because God said it's not good for man to be alone. So the first marriage was in the presence of God. There was nobody else there. There was no governments there. There was nobody else there. That's where marriage was. Marriage belongs in the house of God. But the prophet says, being that you are married, because I'd already married 21 years before in the magistrates, he says, I'll tell you when you're really married. You married when you vow one to another, when you promise one another that you'll take one another. God takes us at our word. That's why Jesus said, by your words you'll be blessed, and by your words you'll be judged, you'll be condemned. There's power in the words. So when a man vows and pledges, I'll take you as my lawfully wedded wife, to heaven to hold, through sickness, through health, through riches, through poor, you and you only, God's going to hold you to that. It's a serious thing. He says the justice of peace could give you license. And it's good, you must get your license. That's legal terms. That's Caesar. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Of living together as husband and wife without being common law husband and wife in the eyes of the law. But when you promise this girl and you promise that man that you live true to him and you take him to be your husband, then you're married. Hey. And I say you got married by magistrate. You should have been married by the church, by the minister.
Amen.
That's the decent thing for a Christian.
Hallelujah.
If there's anybody here that's never had their marriage blessed, maybe you married in the world, you married in the courts. It's a very good thing to get the blessing of God upon your home. Don't put too many obstacles in the way and say, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, no, no. It can be as simple as the brother and the sister today. They just wanted to set their things in order. We'd spoken to the sister before she was baptized about these things. You know, they were living separate. They were trying to live a real clean life up to this stage here. You know, because they weren't married. And then as soon as I said to the sister, I said, sister, to be baptized, this is something you need to resolve inside of your life. What are you people thinking? Then they said, no, no, we want to sort this thing out. And their parents have given them permission. So why delay? They don't want to have some big something. It would be nice to have a big celebration, nice to have a white dress, nice to have all those things. It's wonderful to do that. You can do that later on. But if you're just trying to get your affairs in order with God, don't complicate things. Don't keep putting all these different milestones that you've got to keep. And I've got to do this and I'll have to. No, 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 don't do that. It's like people that put off salvation. Don't put off salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Marriage is in the sight and the presence of God. And here we are in his presence. Here we are before many witnesses. That's all that's required. Just witnesses to marry.
Hallelujah.
The prophet says that's the decent thing for a Christian to do. But being that you've already made that promise and vow, been married 21 years ago, I think it's all right. The question might be, should I come and be married again? If you wish to, don't have nothing in your mind that bothers your faith. Because if there's anything there, you can't go no further than right there. You stop right there. When that question mark comes, that's where you end, right there. So rather sort it out.
Amen.
Is that not wise, friends? The prophet gave us good advice. If there's a question mark, there's people who sometimes came and say, you know, when I was baptized, I didn't really know what I was doing. Should I be baptized again? If there's a burden inside of you and a question mark, do it again. There's no harm in being baptized again. Many times it happens. If you think, I didn't know what I was doing then, wasn't really repented then, well, it really is up to you. But the prophet, if there's a question mark there, that's where your faith stops right there. No, because whenever you wanted to go further with the Lord, that thing's always going to come back to you. So sort it out.
It's so simple. Baptism is simple. Marriage is simple. Let's not make it into some big complex thing. But the most important thing we desire is like Jesus when he came to the baptism. He said to John, it behooveth us. It's becoming for us to fulfill all righteousness. Let's do it, John. Let's fulfill all righteousness. And I'd say that to each and every one of us. If there's something inside of your life which is a conscience to you, don't rest. Let's fulfill all righteousness. Let's put that to bed and let's move on. Let's move on with no hindrances to our faith. If you've never got a blessing, get the blessing. If you've never been baptized or you were baptized, you didn't feel it was really the right time, it's up to you. You can come and do it again. We'll gladly do it for you. Just so that you have a clear conscience before God. So there'll be nothing but plain sailing in your path as you go forward. So that's why we wanted to come now to just join our brother and our sister together. If they wouldn't mind coming forward, please. I'm just going to read it from a message married ceremony. But the first thing the prophet asked, who would I ask for this woman to be the wife of this man? Now, the sister's father is not here, but she has permission from him. And that's what is an important thing in marriage. You know, so on that one there, we'll just pass by. Because your father's already given permission. So we thank him for that. May the Lord bless him
for his desire.
The prophet says, dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the sight of God. That's the most important thing. We're gathered in his sight. What we're doing today is recorded in eternity.
Amen.
What we're doing today follows us into the world to come. It's not a light thing that we're doing here. We're gathered together in the sight of God and in the face of this company to join together this man, Goran, and this woman, Valentina, in holy matrimony. That's what we want. We want a holy matrimony. We want people living together. That's unholy relationship. That's not consecrated to God. That's not right. But the Bible says that if you do it properly, the bed is undefiled. Marriage is holy. The bed is undefiled. If you do it God's provided way. Which is commanded by Saint Paul to be honorable among all men. So we honor them for what they do. This is an honorable thing which they do. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, soberly, and in the fear of God. And that's why they're here today, because they fear God. This world doesn't fear God anymore. This world is just live together. That's fornication. No fornicator shall enter the kingdom of God unless you repent of your fornication. But they're doing things the right way. It may be very simple, but it's blessed in the eyes of God and something that God will honor. So the prophet says, into this holy state. So just through a covenant they'll make with each other, vows they'll exchange with one another, and a prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to take them from where they are and move them into the holy state of marriage.
Amen.
That's how simple it is. Into this holy state, these two persons present come here to be joined. If there's anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now speak, or from hereafter forever hold your peace? Now, I don't think it'd be many people that know their background, but having spoken to them, neither of them were married before. Neither of them have got anything, as we know of, by the grace of God, to hold them back from disqualifying them from this holy state of matrimony that they're entering into. So we thank the Lord for that. He says, I will require and will charge you both, as you will surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed. If there's either of you that know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you confess it now? For be assured unto you that any couples that are joined otherwise than God's word doth allow, their marriage is not lawful. Are you happy with that? You accept that. But Julie, believing that you have considered this solemn obligation, knowing that you've thought of this before, knowing that you've been preparing yourselves for this time, that you're about to assume, and that you have prepared to enter upon the same reverently, discreetly, soberly, in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. Witness the same as you join your right hands. So take each other's right hand. Goran, will you have this woman, Valentina, to be your lawful wedded wife? To live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, to honor, to cherish, and to support her in sickness or in health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others as long as you both live? Very good. Sister Valentina, will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband? To live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love and honor and cherish and support him in sickness and in health, riches or poverty, and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live? Very good. They don't have any... They don't have any rings. They still have to buy their rings. So we don't have a token of that. But, well, it doesn't really stop us there. Let's bow our heads. Let everybody bow their heads. I'll just read it first and then I'll pray. This is the prophet's prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are conscious of this act that we're performing and realizing that you married the first couple that was married on the earth when you married our father and mother Adam and Eve, and you commanded them to go forth into the world and to be fruitful and multiply. Down to this day, Lord, this young man and young woman comes now to be united by the virtues of thy word and thy promise. As in their life's journey, they have chosen each other to be life's companions. I pray your blessings upon them, Almighty God. Make them an example in this day of reckless living. That a man and a woman can live true and virtuous in the sight of the world and before God. Make them fruitful, Lord. May they always serve you. May you be the unseen guest at all times in their home. And as you did bless Isaac and Rebekah, and they lived so happily together all their life, I pray likewise that you will bless this young man and this young woman. Father, I pray that you hear me, Lord. Let's pray. Father, even as your prophet has expressed, we see our brother, we see our sister standing in your presence upon this day. Father, standing, Lord, before, Father, these witnesses, Lord, your bride, your sons and your daughters. And what an honorable thing that they have desired to do. To enter into the state, this holy state of matrimony, Lord. Father, I do pray your blessings upon them. Father, let anything else in the past pass away. And Father, you join them together, Lord, as one in this age. Let them be a testimony, Lord. Father, provide their needs. Minister to them. Provide them, Father, with everything, Lord, that they need to serve and to worship you. Guide their footsteps. Protect them. Father, make them fruitful, as your prophet said. I pray your blessing on them. In Jesus' name. Then the prophet says, and now, by the virtue of my commission to be a servant of God, given to me by Almighty God, then he says, ministered by an angel, we can't say ministered by an angel, but given to us by Almighty God, I pronounce you man and wife, husband and wife, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may kiss the bride. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Whatsoever God joins together, let no man put asunder. The sweetness of wedlock. And may the Lord bless them. Let's rejoice with them, friends. Let's stand. I'm sure Brother George has some songs. Let's sing that song, Happy Day, Happy Day.
Can we sing a happy song day. First?
Or if you sing one, bro.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
He has done great things.
Hallelujah.
He has done great things. Thank you, Jesus. He has done great things. Bless His
time, He has done great things. Hallelujah.
He has done great things. Lord, we love You. He has done great things. Thank You, Jesus. He shine on.
Brother Jose was asking for prayer because he's not well as well. He's sick in bed, so he sent me a message. So could we ask Brother Lubanza if he'd be kind enough to come and close for us in a word of prayer and just to remember Brother Jose before the Lord as well. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord bless our brother, bless our sister. May he grant them many days of sunshine, many days of laughter, many days of joy. In Jesus' name.
Let's pray. Seigneur Dieu Tout-Puissant, nous te sommes reconnaissants cet après-midi.
We are thankful this afternoon
pour nous avoir accordé le privilège de nous incliner devant ta face, Père,
to stand before you
pour te dire merci,
to thank you
pour tout ce qui s'est passé, Seigneur, depuis ce matin,
for all that happened since this morning,
jusqu'à cette heure, Seigneur.
Up to now.
Nous voulons te dire merci de tout notre cœur.
We want to thank you from all of our hearts.
Pour la vie éternelle que tu nous as donnée à Golgotha.
For the eternal life you gave us at Golgotha.
Nous voulons te dire merci, Seigneur, de tout notre cœur.
We want to thank you from all of our hearts.
Pour la croix du calvaire.
For the cross of Calvary.
Seigneur, tu es venu.
Dear you, Lord, you came.
Nous montrer le chemin.
To show us the way.
C'était difficile pour nous après être perdus.
It was difficult for us after being lost
de retrouver le chemin du Père.
To find again back the way back to the Lord.
Oh Seigneur,
oh Lord,
tu es venu nous montrer le chemin.
You came to show us the way.
Comme tu l'as montré au travers de la prédication.
As you did through this sermon.
Au travers du pasteur, Seigneur.
By our pastor.
Tu nous as montré, Père,
you showed us, oh Lord,
que la croix vers le Père, c'est le chemin vers le Père, c'est la croix.
The way to the Father is by the cross.
Seigneur, si nous ne mourons pas à nous-mêmes,
if we don't die to ourselves,
nous ne pouvons pas te voir.
We can't see you.
Nous ne pouvons même pas, Seigneur, oh Dieu, avoir accès à toi.
We can't even have access to you.
Jésus-Christ lui-même, après avoir quitté le Père,
Jesus himself, after leaving the Father,
ne pouvait plus repartir là-bas,
he couldn't go back to him,
sans passer par la croix.
Without going through the cross.
Il devait passer par la croix.
He had to go through the cross
pour revenir vers toi, Seigneur.
To come back to you, Lord.
Et tu nous as montré, Père,
and you showed us
que chacun de nous doit le faire.
That everyone of us have to do
et
it.
La puissance
and the power
est au-delà du Jourdain.
Is beyond Jordan.
La mort à soi-même, Seigneur.
The death to self.
Oh Dieu Tout-Puissant.
Oh God Almighty.
Si nous ne mourons pas nous-mêmes,
if we don't die to ourselves,
nous ne verrons jamais le royaume des cieux.
We won't see the kingdom of heaven.
Seigneur Dieu Tout-Puissant,
dear Heavenly Father,
comme tu nous as montré ce matin,
as you shown us this morning,
que c'est difficile de mourir,
it's hard to die,
mais tu nous as prédestinés,
but you predestined us,
à être comme Jésus-Christ.
To be like Jesus Christ.
C'est pourquoi, Père bien-aimé,
that's why, Father,
nous nous approchons de toi cet après-midi.
We come before you.
Te demandant, Seigneur Jésus,
asking you
de nous rendre capables, Père,
to make us able
de mourir à nous-mêmes, Seigneur.
To die to ourselves.
Que la grâce de Jésus-Christ puisse tomber sur chacun de nous, Seigneur.
Upon everyone
nous révéler, Seigneur, notre Dieu,
to reveal to us
que, Seigneur, Père Céleste,
that Heavenly Father,
la vie chrétienne,
that Christian life
c'est la vie de la croix.
Is the life
nous sommes appelés
of cross.
Des soldats de la croix.
We are called the soldiers
nous devons
of the
porter
cross.
La croix chaque jour,
we
Seigneur,
have to
notre
bear
Dieu,
our cross every day,
pour qu'on voie Jésus dans notre vie, Père.
So that people can see
nous devons mourir à nous-mêmes, Seigneur Jésus.
To
oh, Dieu de gloire et Dieu Tout-Puissant. Si, Seigneur, nous ne mourons pas à nous-mêmes, Père, la puissance du Saint-Esprit ne pourra jamais descendre à nous, Seigneur notre Dieu.
Us,
oh, Père Céleste, nous avons
Father,
besoin de ta présence.
We need your
nous
presence.
Avons besoin de ton Saint-Esprit.
We need your
nous
Holy
avons
God.
Besoin de ta puissance.
We need your power.
Nous avons besoin de toi, Seigneur
we
Jésus.
You, oh
sans toi, nous ne pouvons rien, Seigneur notre
give
Dieu. Oh, Dieu Tout-Puissant.
Oh,
sans toi, nous ne pouvons rien, Seigneur notre Dieu. Nous avons besoin de toi,
we need
Seigneur
you.
Jésus-Christ. Nous sommes restés
Jesus.
Très longtemps, Seigneur notre Dieu, à nous-mêmes, Seigneur notre Dieu, à nous justifiant, Seigneur,
justifying
dans notre propre popularité, Seigneur, dans notre propre arrogance, Seigneur Jésus.
Arrogance.
Oh Dieu Tout-Puissant,
oh,
nous voulons
Father,
mourir à toutes ces choses.
We want to die to
nous voulons disparaître
these.
À toutes ces choses. Parce que, Seigneur notre Dieu, tu nous
Father,
as montré l'exemple, Seigneur. Toi qui étais en forme de Dieu,
you existed as a God,
tu n'as pas voulu, Seigneur, te comparer à Dieu, Seigneur.
You didn't to make yourself equal to God.
Oh, Dieu Tout-Puissant,
oh, dear
tu t'es dépouillé toi-même.
You humbled yourself.
Et jusqu'à mourir à la croix, Seigneur notre Dieu, laisse que nous puissions suivre cet exemple.
Let us follow that example.
Nous voulons, Seigneur notre Dieu, te dire merci pour ton serviteur,
to thank you for your servant,
que tu as utilisé si puissamment, Seigneur notre Dieu,
so
pour nous ramener à toi, Seigneur Jésus.
Bring us back
nous
to
avons
you.
Besoin de telles prédications.
Remplis-les
davantage, Seigneur Jésus.
Remplis
notre pasteur, Seigneur, de la révélation, Seigneur, de l'inspiration encore. Comme ça, quand il va se tenir encore une fois ici, qu'il puisse nous parler, Seigneur, comme il nous l'a touché ce matin, Seigneur. Nos cœurs sont touchés, Père Céleste. Nous avons été mis au défi, Seigneur Jésus. Nous avons été mis au défi, Père Céleste, pour vérifier notre vie, faire examen, Seigneur, de conscience, vérifier ce que nous sommes, Seigneur, notre Dieu. C'est pourquoi, Père bien-aimé, nous nous approchons de toi, Seigneur Jésus. Nous voulons venir, Seigneur, auprès de toi, Seigneur notre Dieu. Nous voulons que ton Saint-Esprit, Seigneur Jésus, vienne, Seigneur, prendre chacun de nous, Père bien-aimé. Que la puissance du Saint-Esprit, Seigneur notre Dieu, saisisse chacun de nous, Père bien-aimé. Ceux qui n'ont pas le Saint-Esprit, Père bien-aimé, qui le reçoivent, Seigneur, cet après-midi, Père bien-aimé. Ceux qui n'en sont jamais arrivés, Père bien-aimé, à mourir à eux-mêmes, Seigneur notre Dieu. Qu'ils meurent, Seigneur, à jamais, Seigneur notre Dieu. Oh Père, laisse que l'ange de l'Éternel qui accompagna William Branham dans son ministère, Père bien-aimé, puisse descendre ici, Seigneur Jésus, prendre le contrôle de la salle, Père bien-aimé, et changer toutes choses ici, Père bien-aimé. Que le feu du ciel, Père, descende, Père, et consume tous les sacrifices, Père bien-aimé, qui sont sur ton autel, Père Tout-Puissant. Merci, Jésus. Merci, Dieu Tout-Puissant, pour ta puissance. Merci pour ta présence. Merci pour ton esprit. Nous prions pour tous ceux qui sont malades. Nous les déclarons guéris dans le nom de Jésus.
Them in
le
Jesus
frère
name.
José qui est malade, Père,
those
nous le déclarons guéris, Seigneur, dans le nom puissant de Jésus. Oh Dieu Tout-Puissant,
oh
merci. Bénis les nouveaux mariés, Seigneur notre
Bless
Dieu, qui viennent d'être consacrés aujourd'hui, Seigneur notre Dieu. Laisse que Père bien-aimé, qu'il mène une vie joyeuse dans ta présence, Père bien-aimé.
Happy life in your presence.
Nous nous confions entre tes mains, Père, alors que nous allons partir, Seigneur Jésus. Accompagne-nous, Seigneur. Sois avec nous, Père Céleste.
Be with us.
Et si tu nous ramènes encore ici dans ta maison, nous allons te glorifier,
here,
Père Céleste.
We'll praise
nous
you.
Avons demandé tout ceci
we'll
dans le nom puissant et précieux de Jésus,
name,
notre Sauveur et notre Dieu.
Our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
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 Merci,
Seigneur. Amen. I'm thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. That's what he's thinking about. That's why he's preparing us, friends. But you can't go into the rapture with your sin. You can't go into the rapture with your own ideas. You can't go into the rapture living your own life. Like Brother Lubanza was praying there. All of the inheritance, the power is beyond the Jordan. It's beyond death to self. Crossing the Jordan. What a wonderful thing. May the Lord help
Amen.
Us.
Rapture in this blessed home, when the redeemed are gathering in, how we raise the heavenly anthem in the city skies, when the redeemed are gathering in, my Lord. The redeemed are gathering in. Whoa, wash thy soul and reborn say, how we shall and how we say, when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city will be roared when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the
Say we're taking a look. Imagine how much more you'll enjoy your lunch. So I want to sing one more song. When the word comes to you and steps on your toes, you know what you should say? Amen.
Amen.
When the word comes and convicts you and says it's wrong what you're doing, you should say amen.
Amen.
When you see our brother and sister getting married, we should be saying amen. Let's sing that song as we dismiss. Amen to all that the message says. To all that the scripture says, be it unto me according to your word.
Amen. 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 Are you going to love it?
Amen.
Are you going to praise it?
Amen.
Are you going to worship him?
Amen.
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 Do you love him?
Amen.
Will you serve him?
Amen.
Bible is true.
Amen.
We believe it.
Amen.
coming
day,
and we're ready to meet you
day.
Come, Lord Jesus.